Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Well, welcome to the UFO Files, everyone, and we have Claude DiDomenico with us, flying from Boston. He's the author, publisher, and webmaster of his own electronic publication called Claude's Commentary. Claude, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to your audience.
We look forward to talking to you about a myriad of subjects. Looking at your website, you cover quite a few things, not just ETs and UFOs, but other things as well.
That's right. I get into all kinds of matters, political, spiritual, if you will, negative connotations to people, but just subjects that are beyond the apparent reality we live in. Let me say it that way.
Well, now, you have a newsletter, too, right?
Yeah, it's a subscription email service, and people can subscribe, and I also archive everything I send out, and so people can see that at any time as well.
I guess probably the best way to start the show is what's on your mind today, Claude?
Why don't we begin with just a very brief background of who I am, just so people who don't know who I am will understand where I'm coming from.
I think that's a good idea.
I've been involved in this issue for most of my life, and when I was very young, I think I may have had an encounter with something, let's say, non-human. I'm not sure about this, but I really couldn't understand it, and it wasn't until later in life that I began to realize, well, maybe there's a connection between that and my interest in UFOs. What happened was when I was about 10 or 11, I began studying this phenomenon, reading every book in the library, every magazine article I could find. And this is very odd. I was a child who despised reading, so this is very strange. In any event, I did this for a while and became frustrated when the film Close Encounters of the Third Kind came out. I was floored by it.
You know, that movie had a profound effect on a lot of people.
Absolutely.
It's kind of interesting that almost everything we've run across doing these shows over the last couple of decades covered in that movie.
That's right, and it's kind of sad to see Steven Spielberg sort of taking a darker look at the phenomenon, but it would appear he's had a profound change of heart, and I've heard him state that he doesn't believe we're being visited by extraterrestrials, when it's clear by the making of the film Close Encounters that he once believed that. I mean, he had J. Allen Hynek do a cameo in the film, for Christ's sakes. You know, it just... So I decided to start my own chat rooms and message boards, and I made my first UFO website, UFOnetwork.com, which kind of morphed into ClaudesCommentary.com. But in any case, I started, that's how I got involved. This was around 1996 or so. So that's sort of how I ended up here.
Well, now, you recently published a concept paper, right?
Yes, I did.
Why don't we talk about that a little bit?
I'm calling it my preliminary informal concept paper, because a concept paper is generally a more formal brief proposal that you send out to get funding for, you know, usually a charity does this, but I decided to call it a concept paper nonetheless, just to give it that air. Now, basically, I call it Building the Bridge to the Truthful, Honorable, and Peaceful Conclusion of the Covert Management of the UFO ET Matter. My opinion is that disclosure and cover-up are two sides of the same coin. I don't want anyone on either, quote, side, because I don't believe in sides. I don't want anyone on either side to feel that there's any pressure of either, you know, either viewpoint, because I can see.
Yeah, no, you're talking like maybe something like disclosure versus cover-up or something?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And okay.
I'm talking about bringing the parties together.
Okay.
At first, very informally, but and quietly, but at the same time issuing reports as to what's going on, so it's not so secretive. Because here's the bottom line: the problem, as I see it, is secrecy. And for me to do this secretively would be hypocritical, and I'm not going to do that. So I have to sort of create a miracle here if I'm to do this, and I'm willing to try.
Well, you know, I guess to make a long story short, you're actually trying to get this subject into the mainstream, right? That would be an overall objective?
Well, actually, I think the disclosure people are doing that. I think that Steve Bassett is doing a wonderful job doing that and pushing the envelope. And I think that what I'm trying to do is sort of create the ultimate peace conference. I mean, we're talking of a major controversy here that with enough pressure is going to have to come to the forefront of the public discourse.
And I didn't mean to interrupt you, Claude, but when you say a peace conference, you're talking about the two sides, the cover-up people and the disclosure side?
Basically, yes.
Okay.
Now, I have no idea how that would come about and who would represent what. But I'm willing to try, and I've been thinking about this for years. This is not the first time I've launched this effort. I think in 1999 was the first time, if not before. So this is nothing new. I periodically kind of reissue it because, when I feel maybe the time is right. Now, this last X conference was a pretty profound event. And although the media coverage hasn't been too great because of, the election going on and other things, I think if not this year, if not next year, within a certain amount of years, the envelope is going to be pushed to the point where the so-called cover-up people or covert managers, as I sometimes call them, will see the wisdom in settling this as opposed to this sort of standoff we have right now.
Yeah, now the X conference, you feel, probably made more progress and people are giving it credit. I mean, there were some major news events happening during that time, so they didn't get as much press as they should have.
Yes, I think that at first when I looked at the X conference, which I didn't go to, so I'm not really...
Well, it makes two of us. Normally I make these, but I just couldn't. I had a lot of things happening that
weekend.
Yeah,
actually, I did go on purpose because I'm trying to position myself as somewhat neutral here. I mean, if you're going to broker a peace deal, you can't be taking sides. Now, I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'm trying to. Now, let me just say this about the X conference. I think that overall it was a good event based on reports that I've read. There was a little bit of controversy about a certain aspect of it, which I don't even want to get into because it's noise. And I think we must keep looking at the overall sort of momentum of things and not dwell on the noise.
I get what you mean. I know you're pushing for transparency in a peace conference, but the problem I see is we're not even sure who we need to be getting at the table, are we?
Exactly. And I have to figure out how to address that. I mean, it's pretty well known there are certain people sort of in the field that are alleged to be playing both sides of the field. And you know, one way to start this is to approach them in a non-accusatory fashion and engage them. And another thing to do is to approach leaders of various groups. I don't even want to say what kind of groups because I'm actually doing this, but of officialdom. Approach officialdom in a very casual way and just tell them what I'm up to. And right now, I'm sort of feeling my way around.
Well, what kind of reaction are you getting from that type of encounter? I know you're doing it informally, so.
Well, it's just begun. I would say that in terms of the sort of alleged people in the middle, let me call them that. There's been some response, but not directly to what I'm saying, more like, keep sending me your stuff, or, that was interesting. In terms of the official type people that I really want to get to, I've just started doing that, and I haven't gotten any feedback, although nobody's told me, no, don't send me your stuff. So that's a, you know, that's a good sign.
So actually, you think there are three sides to this thing, the pro, the con, and the middle.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, if you take the disclosure people, you're going to have infiltrators and what do they call them, agents, provocateurs, and I guess those are the people in the middle. They're sort of playing both sides, and one thing that I've said is that the people playing the middle run the risk of being sort of fed to the lions, and I would hate to be in their shoes. I mean, this is a serious business they're involved in, and at some point, the fun and games will be over.
Well, now, you must have an idea about what's actually happening. Or you wouldn't be pushing for this so hard. Let's go back to your encounter. You're not sure what that was about with an ET?
Well, I'm not sure if it was an ET, but it's sort of, when I look at the, well, here's one thing I do. I try to look at the macro, big picture, worldview perspective of everything. And as I said, that alleged encounter on its own, I don't know what, but I think in concert with the rest of my life and where I am today, I think that I have a relationship to these beings. Now, I don't know what that is, but I can tell you what the encounter was.
Well, I'd be kind of curious, and I'm sure our listeners are, at least maybe a little thumbnail sketch.
Sure. I give them the whole sketch because it's very brief. I must have been 3 or 4 or 5 years old. I forget how old. And I think it was in the middle of the night. And what I thought happened was a stuffed animal yelled at me. I mean, like, hey, something really, you know. And whatever it was came at me, and then I passed out. Now, I don't believe the stuffed animal was responsible for this any longer. I think it was a being. I think it was a physical being. I don't think it was a dream. I don't think it was a spiritual entity. I think it was a physical being, probably an extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional or wherever they're from. And I'm only saying that based on the big picture. As I said, based on the, just looking at the event, you know, by itself, oh yeah, maybe it was a dream. But all I can tell you is what I feel, you know, in my heart. This is the, and there are probably a lot of other people that have had similar experiences. They're just not sure. But what I urge them to do is to look at their entire life and see how it fits in, see how it makes them feel. I think that's critical if you want to even begin to, you know, understand your life, if you have anything to do with these little guys.
You're listening to Club de Dominica, and Club de Dominica is on the line from Boston. And you have an interesting website, and we'll, of course, have a link to that on our website at jerrypippin.com. And for people listening on the radio, we will give that website at the end of the show again. Claude, what kind of reactions are you getting? I know you have a news group there. A lot of people get in on that.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Well, I mean, yeah, they talk to you. Don't you have people come into a chat room and talk to you?
Oh, I mean, I will go to chat rooms, but...
Oh, I thought maybe you have one on your website.
No, actually, I think what I do is, you know, people... What happens is people send me feedback, and so far, let me put it this way. Overall, the silence is deafening. Now... It's almost like I have to prod people for a response. I've gotten some responses from my subscribers, but I think, here's what I think. I think people don't know what to do with me. That's the opinion I have right now. I think where I'm leaning is so far away from what's perceived as is the prudent course of action, or it's ahead of its time. There is something about what I'm doing that is either confusing people or something. I can't explain what I think is going on, other than to tell you it's pretty silent out there.
Well, now what do you think you're doing as far as the object? What is your plan? I mean, you must have an overall objective here.
Yeah, the overall objective is, just as I've stated, it's to bring a peaceful end to the secrecy, and that's it. And it's not to do it from the disclosure activist standpoint. It's to be the person that's volunteering now, and once again, to stand in the middle and help everyone along when they're ready. It's sort of a unique position. I think it's a unique position.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it to me, at first blush, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And if somebody else is doing it,
I'm not aware of it.
But God bless them if they are, because I think that bringing peace is something more people should try to do. And I think here's my bottom line in terms of my own life. I personally would like to do other things for humanity. I believe that, for me, I need to move beyond the UFO ET issue and move on to some things that are very close to my heart. I'm concerned about systemic change. I'm concerned about, you know, basic human systems that are failed. I mean, just looking at America, all the problems we have with people with no health care, no jobs, and then, you know, beyond that, in the world, we have people starving and an AIDS pandemic. I mean, I don't need to go any further with that. People know of these things, and I would like to be involved on prevention, education, systemic change kind of level, which to me is largely ignored. It's sort of like humanity tends to put Band-Aids on gaping open wounds, and I would like to, and the wound is, you know, infected, and we don't treat it. And I would like to treat the infection as kind of where I'm coming from. But for now, I seem to be involved in the UFO ET issue, and I'd like to...
Well, do you see a connection there at all?
Well, absolutely. I think others have pointed this out. I think, in general, the disclosure movement is pretty... I don't mean this negatively, but it's pretty progressive and left-oriented. And I don't see that as a bad thing. I see that as a good thing, because a lot of what the progressives have to say are valid things, and I actually agree with a lot. And I see the sort of the covert management and the secrecy, it's just, once that goes, other secrecy, other...
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, other conspiracies, and I don't mean the word conspiracy in a negative way, but, I mean, we have real conspiracies going on this earth. It's not even a secret. These conspiracies take place in plain sight. And I see this nut, this UFO secrecy nut, I see when that one cracks, the rest of them are going to crack along with it. So, in terms of my work on systemic change, this is highly related. But to me, it's a stepping stone. It's not the penultimate thing that I'm up to.
Have you seen a UFO itself, or just that one childhood experience?
I've never seen anything that I would...
The reason I ask that, I've been doing these shows for 30 years, maybe 40. That's right, Claude, I'm an old guy. Anyway, and I personally have not had a UFO sighting that I know of. I've had a couple of dreams, maybe. You know, you deal with these subjects, and you kind of wonder about it sometime.
I'm glad you're bringing this up, because to answer your question and then elaborate, I think I may have seen some odd things in the sky, but not close enough for me to say, wow, that was either... a non-human conveyance or some super secret government, whatchamacallit. But what I will say is, you brought up the kind of the overall, I think what you're getting at is the overall idea that people in this field have their own encounters and experiences. And from your life experience in the field, you've noticed that, and I agree with you. I mean, almost anyone in this has had something happen to them personally. Now, you brought up dreams. There's something I wanted to tell your audience. I think for a variety of reasons, including safety of the of all parties concerned, including the, we'll call them aliens, I think that the majority of contact is probably in the dream state. I mean, it's probably it's logically to me a safe place to interface with someone. And I've had some dreams, I would say 3 or 4 in my life that I don't exactly remember them, but I remember the feeling of the dreams. It was so profound. It was the last few I've had, last couple I had, things felt and looked three-dimensional and had a almost a golden appearance, just in almost like a very high-quality three-dimensional animation. And this is what, you know, I've seen in my dreams, and mm-hmm. these dreams felt so different than any other dream I've ever had that I remember the feeling of the dream. Well, briefly, one of them I remember was a shuttlecraft-type vehicle coming down and landing on the lawn of my parents' house. I forget when I had the dream. Maybe I was still a kid, but maybe it was later in life, but the craft landed on their lawn. And I got in it, and there were other, I think were people on it, who were very happy to be on it, and I was happy as well, and then we were taken up, presumably, to a mothership. And this was so real, so captivating, that I remember it now, and I don't even remember when I had it. And maybe that's the kind of dreams you're talking about.
Yeah, basically, it is, except my dreams have been much more dark.
Okay.
And, you have these paralyzed movements. You can't move. Something's there to get you, but you don't know what it is. You yell at it, tell it to leave.
Yeah.
And so you wonder whether or not you've had nightmares, period, or something really going on, you know.
And we could try to analyze your...
The whole reason I bring the thing up is that's one of the difficulties I see here in dealing with this issue when you get around to disclosure and things like that. Many people are just not really sure if it's real or not, even if they've had their own experiences.
Well, what would certainly help is if we had access to the unmassaged data left anything that had to do with genuine national security issues.
That's one of my pet peeves, by the way.
What's that?
National security, they always hide behind it, and I really can't think much it really has to do with national security.
Well, here's
when
here's
you really get down to it.
Well, here's why I bring it up.
Yeah.
There could be genuine issues, very few of them. And here's my point. That's what Congressional Oversight Committees are for. Right now, as far as we know, they don't even have access to this stuff. Can we at least start with that? That would be a good start. In other words, to take the data and say, okay, and this is something that is negotiated at, I presume, at this peace conference. What aspects of this can we reveal with the understanding that we're trying to reveal everything? And whatever is determined that we can't reveal has to go into the oversight mode, because right now there is no oversight. It's as far as we know. So
No, it certainly appears that, you know, there's a third group of people running a government that the real government people have little or no knowledge of.
It does appear that way, although maybe it's not as sinister and dark as we realize. Maybe, for example, at least the committee chair people and the leaders in Congress are aware. See, we don't know. That's what, I mean, obviously this is part of the problem. Is we're we're operating in a sort of an informational vacuum here. And I think all that's going to be, can be resolved if we put our minds to it. Now you mentioned people not knowing whether or not to believe or not. Well, the reason I brought up what I just brought up is to say that I think that when there is an official announcement, people will no longer have this doubt.
I agree with you completely.
Now, of course, we're going to have people, I call them the wannabes, and that are going to say, wow, I've had all these encounters, and in reality, they haven't. But you're going to have that with anything. I mean, you're always going to have people that latch on to things just because it's out there. So, but anyway, that's just a side issue.
Well, yeah, I'm just, you know, you've talked about it in your columns, and many people talk about it on the air with me, and when I go to conferences and when I visit with people, preparing humanity for these encounters, and I'm not quite sure what that involves. I mean, I know there is the religious issue, you know, maybe a certain sect can't accept that there's life from somewhere else, and there's all those kind of issues, but it just seems to me if you get it out there, the human mind has an ability to deal with almost anything.
Well, there's your answer. I believe that. I think that if we handle this rationally, compassionately, intelligently, that I think people will handle it. And as a matter of fact, I think there's been some form of an acclimation program going on. I don't know how organized it is, but certainly, informally, we're being acclimated to something. Now,
yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you know, people are coming forward, television, radio, programs are dealing with this much more and more. Movies, as we talked about, been really ahead of the curve on this.
Now, you mentioned the dark side, and I think some people, too many people shy away from it, and I'm not going to shy away from it. The so-called malevolent ETs. Now, first of all, we don't really know, at least I don't know, how much, if at all, of these encounters are malevolent. Now, the reason I say that is there's other factors to consider, which I don't want to get into now because I'll miss my point. What I'm saying is that the malevolence issue, as far as I can tell from my research, is of minority experience, and when it is felt to be a negative experience, generally there are reasons that if people understood would comfort them. Now, it is possible we have...
Well, that's what I was trying to get at earlier when I was saying my dreams were on the dark side. Well, I really don't think that's necessarily anything other than my own mind. Well, and my own fears and my own phobias.
That's what I was trying to get at here.
Yeah.
Now, it is also possible...
I mean, if they were really this bad, they wouldn't bother, you know, if we were really that insignificant to them, they'd just step on us like ants and go on.
Well, here's my...
It's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. What I'd like to do is sort of look at this and say, wait a minute. Either these beings are one of three basic categories. They are benevolent, neutral, / let's say anthropologists or something, scientists, or they're malevolent in some fashion. If they were mostly malevolent, yes, I think we'd all be toast, and we wouldn't be having this discussion. I think they tend to be mostly neutral to benevolent, or benevolent to neutral, depending on how I feel on a particular day. my feeling about them is that they're benevolent. Now, that's just a feeling, and I can't explain it, and that's not science, and that's probably going to get me in trouble with some researchers. But
well, basically, I tend to agree. I've talked to hundreds of people over the years, and most of them have a spirit-changing, mind-changing, emotional-changing, for lack of a better term, actually a moral-changing attitude about life after these experiences.
I would say that I'm in that category. I feel like I have a mission to help humanity and all these wonderful things. And I've actually manifested these things. There's been charity that we started. And did you know that we produced an HIV and AIDS prevention education video for preteens, and this is the only one, as far as we know, that was ever produced for that age group. So this life-changing stuff for me, is I've manifested it into reality. So this isn't just people, talking. I think there's a lot of us out there that are actually doing this work.
I tend to agree with you on that, and the scary stories and the things that we hear, they do exist, and they could be part of the whole equation, no doubt about it. I mean,
or we have to accept the fact that some of them could be what's generally called disinformation.
I've done many interviews, for instance, with Leah Haley and others, talking about mind control.
Yep.
And many of these experiments appear to be coming from us.
The so-called MyLab military abductions, yes.
Yeah.
That is one issue that's a tricky one, because in terms of a peace conference or a peace movement that I'm trying to start here, because now you're talking about extra constitutional and illegal acts on our citizenry. So that could be one reason to keep the lid on the secrecy, couldn't it? Well, one of many.
Well, of course, and no doubt about it, but I think if you analyze any issue that deals with that type of activity, just look what happens in Iraq. We go over there, for one stated purpose, and immediately you're out there killing people. Well, so, the unintended consequences of the actions end up being illegal.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because I was hoping you would. You opened the door for me. This is what I believe, based on just watching the news, okay? This is what I believe. I believe that these fools knew exactly the disaster they were getting into and did it anyway. I think this is a malevolent, purposeful act, and this is why I now call President Bush, I call him W. the Cannibal Morlock.
I'm inclined to agree with you, as you well know.
And yes, and that's one reason I'm on your program. I looked at your site, and I have a sympatico with you on this issue. Let me just define what I mean by W. the Cannibal Morlock.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Yes, the reason, well, Morlock is the is from H.G. Wells' Time Machine, their story. Wonderful, wonderful book. Most people have seen it, but in a nutshell, the Morlocks are human beings that went underground after we basically nuked ourselves. And what they did is they started breeding the original type of humans that were above ground. They start breeding them above ground again as food. And so that's what I mean by a cannibal Morlock. And the reason I'm calling him a cannibal, well, first of all, W. the Cannibal Morlock, he represents a profound problem with humanity has with leaders that do not have our best interests at heart. They just don't. So he's sort of the figurehead, so I'm not pointing a finger at him like he's the only one. Now, the reason I go as far as cannibalism is because to me, I wanted to come up with the strongest possible metaphor. And I think we're literally being, not literally, I think we are figuratively being eaten alive by these people. And spit out. They don't care. That's how I feel.
Well, I agree with you completely on that. And my point about the Iraq situation was you can take a good guy that's, you know, and put him in a bad situation, and before you know it, he's doing things that are not good. And that was what I was getting about the ETs and whether or not they're all bad or all good. Sometimes.
Well, actually, if you extend that to the people involved in the covert management, the same thing can happen with them. Now, what I propose, and I'm hoping some of these people are listening. As a matter of fact, I did a broadcast yesterday that... on-air broadcast on radio that was in earshot of the Pentagon and Langley, Virginia, so I hope the CIA was listening. And I hope these people are listening now because I think we can find a way out of this conundrum, out of this disaster, including these very difficult issues of possible human experimentation and military abductions. And where I would point them to look at is the Truth and Reconcile Commission, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, I believe that's what they called it, that was in South Africa, because South Africa found their way out of their conundrum, and they were dealing with some profoundly difficult issues of torture.
Yeah, there are examples that you can get out of these things,
What
I was alluding to when we got into the illegal activity, of course it's illegal, but there's lots of illegal activity happening every day.
And that's not an excuse not to try and solve it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. That's where I was going with that, is that you've got to, the old saying, today's the first day of the rest of my life, is true.
That's right, and I'm... It's interesting. My path in sort of ufology, which is where I sort of came through in the last 10 years or so, is I've had some people do some pretty nasty things to me online. I don't know where they were coming from, and I don't want to know. But there were some... Well, for example, I was called a Martian pedophile once. And you know that's a reactionary tactic to
First of all, they have to be kids on Mars, or I guess they were saying you were from Mars.
Well, they were trying to call me a pedophile by making a joke, so yeah. Whatever. It wasn't funny.
Yeah, well, of course it's not, and that's
and
one
I,
of
you
those.
You know what I did? I walked away from it. I took the high road. I said
that's basically what you have to do.
And you know what? I'm glad I did that because I might run into some of the same people now in this peace process, and I'm willing to deal with them. I'm willing to put my ego and personal feelings aside in order to help humanity, and I think more people need to think that way. I think we can't just keep fighting over everything. We're not going to make it.
We're talking with Claude DeDomenica, and Claude, one thing I want to interject here is the fact that you talk about wicked people and evil people, and we can talk about whether or not they mean to be evil or whether or not it's the unintended consequences or the devil made them do it or whatever, but the fact is that the results, in my opinion, speak volumes of what people do.
Exactly. It is our actions
and for some reason in this country and maybe around the world, humanity has come to accept civilization, has come to accept, well, I didn't know, I didn't intend to do that, or whatever is an excuse, and I just don't think it's a very good excuse.
I agree with you, and at the same time, in order for us to solve it, we're going to have to let...
Oh, I'm not trying to get people, I'm not a crime and punishment guy in that they're going to hang you by your toes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, let's call it what it is.
Exactly.
And then let's go from there.
I agree with you. I'm on the same page, and that's where I stand with this whole UFO, ET disclosure cover-up, how do I call it, coin. I think that's where I stand. It's like, here's the situation.
So you're convinced that there are extraterrestrials and there is a cover-up?
Absolutely. I came to that conclusion years ago, and any doubts that come to me are only in passing and only very brief when I just go to my own archive and look at all the stuff that I've posted over the years. It's, you know...
Well, people, you know, people are always asking me, "Well, do you really believe in that?" You know, that kind of stuff. And then I tell them very truthfully. I say, "Well, I've talked to thousands of people, and they all can't be liars, and they all can't be making up stories, and they all can't be great fiction writers. So there's something going on. I mean, it's too much of it." To say, well, they're doing that for profit or whatever.
I think what's happening now is that there is a mass realization that there is a presence of some sort, and ET or ED, extra-dimensional, that's irrelevant. The point is we have an extra-human, if you will, presence here, and I think the... I think we're at the point now where this has become a political issue, thanks to Bassett et al. And I think this doubt stuff coming from the, you know, Randy and class, and et cetera, they're being laughed at this point by the majority of people, I think. I think that the days of calling us all kooks is over. And I think that we need to take that feeling and in reality and move forward now.
Well, you know, the thing you deal with that, and this administration is perfect at this, and this is, and you've written about this in your columns, doublespeak. They say one thing, do the other. Like, leave no child behind, they leave every child behind.
Yeah.
You know, that's just one example, but it's, what has happened in this country, I think, as far as politics, is that we have refined the language of politics, the hot-button issues, so much that it's very difficult to really get to the real meaning of things.
People
are too busy arguing over things that are really inconsequential and probably should be up to each individual.
And I agree with that, and one of the things that I try to do, and I think you probably noticed this in my writing, is to try to elevate the process and look at the big picture and look at the real issues and not... Because what I believe is, I call this divisionism, and in various forms, you've probably read about it. Basically, it's the concept of divide and conquer. We are all taught to duke it out over little issues.
Well, you mentioned intuition. What's your intuition tell you about the possibility of disclosure?
It's inevitable. As a matter of fact, and when the time is right. Now, maybe I'm premature again in my timing. I tend to do that. That doesn't mean my...
You're a man ahead of his time. I can identify with that.
Yeah, well, you know, we need people like that. I think it's important. I think that if we don't do the actual work, somebody eventually picks up on it and does it.
I have noticed, and this has really come to the forefront, and maybe it's because I'm no longer shallow, or as shallow as I was when I first started doing UFO and paranormal shows, but there seems to be a lot of deep thinking going on in the UFO world these days. I mean, the researchers, the lecturers, seems to be an overwhelming amount of spirituality. You know, basically good versus evil. I want to do good. that type of thing. And I had never really thought about that when I first started doing these shows. I was more into whether or not these guys were going to have a saucer to shoot us or cut our throats and drink our blood or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think you've come to realize now that's not what's going on, but yes, there seems to be a sense of morality into this, and that can be troublesome in terms of the science, because, but I'd rather have it the way it is than not. In other words, the present climate we have, I feel, is overall a healthy one. Ufology, God knows it has its problems. I mean, I've called it a rat's nest. I mean, it's a friend the other day called it a cesspool. But.
Well, I think you're getting at the fact that there seems to be a lot of turf protection going on in this field.
There's that, and there's the egotists on the soapboxes who don't care the earth is burning beneath them, and there's the profit motive. Not to say that people don't deserve to make a living from something, but there's humanity in it. How else do I put it? Humanity is in it, and we are human beings. So I don't think there's anything any big surprise there. But I think overall, we're on the right path. I think overall, the unmassaged truth will come out, and is coming out. I think the malevolence aspect will be dealt with, and will be explained, and we'll hopefully Spielberg will stop making these dark movies for some possible political motive, which I pray it doesn't exist. But he's certainly a powerful figure on our planet, and I'm aware he's making a remake of War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise, so I don't know where that's heading. But by the way, I think he also produced the Men in Black film, which I'd like to make a comment on. I think that film was trying to say, if I was the covert managers and I had anything to do with it, I would be applauding what happened with this film. They're basically saying, well, you human beings are too stupid. You don't need to know what's going on. We're going to take care of it for you. And that is just not acceptable to me. I think we are capable of understanding it. I think we do have a right to know. We have a right to know our place in the universe. We have a right to know if beings are visiting here or that they've been here all along and have a profound connection to us, which seems to be where we're heading with this. Historically, I think we've all seen the cave paintings and the Sumerian texts. And
yeah, I just did a show on that the other day.
Yeah, so there's something absolutely profound going on here, and we're on the precipice of really getting to it, and I don't see any way that the covert managers can stop it. Now, hopefully they're listening to me and will say, wow, maybe we should start thinking about how to get out of this treadmill we're on in the best possible way. If they try to spin it and they try to walk it, and if they try to insert in some agenda, first of all, I'm going to spot it right away because I've been doing this for a long time and I know what to look for. Secondly, it'll be a disaster, and I won't be part of that. If they want to go that route, they're going to go that route, but I'm praying that they don't.
Well, you've got a good point there, and it's it's scary right now, in my opinion, of where the world is headed, especially here in the United States, and we've talked about that politically a little bit.
Yeah.
And it just seems that, it can't get worse, and it does.
and I have something that I've been thinking about that I'm about to publish, and I can tell you briefly about
it. I'd like to hear about it.
Okay. It's a concept I came up with, I don't know when. I think many years ago, and it's a concept that I call the button. And basically, picture yourself in a room with no furnishings except for a pedestal, and on top of the pedestal is an apparatus with a button. And a voice tells you, you can either press this button or not. If you press the button, well, first of all, they give you some information. They say that within 25 years, we know absolutely for a fact that humanity is going to not only kill itself, but everything else on the planet. This is a fact. This is what's going to happen. What this button is a chance for you to save the Earth and the animals, the non-human animals. And if you press it, every human being, at that moment you press it, will be euthanized, including you. So you're given the choice of saving the planet and the animals, or having another 25 years on the planet. Now, which do you pick? And when I think about this, my brain goes into chaos. I think that I wouldn't do it because that would be homicide. But what about the animals? Don't they have rights? And the reason I'm going to publish this, and I'm packaging it in a way that what I call the powers that be will hopefully see sort of a different side to what's going on. And I also bring up the fact that couldn't there be some super intelligence that has their finger poised on this button already? And I don't know where this is going, but I'm writing it. I'm finishing it up today, and I'm going to publish it. And
well, it's an interesting concept. One thing I'd ask you is, you're taking out the equation that as long as there's life, there's hope. Is there a free will? Doesn't it play here? Or are you just saying it's absolutely in concrete that 25 years it's over?
It's a thought experiment.
Uh-huh.
For the purpose of the thought experiment, you assume that in 25 years it's over, and there is no changing it. And now you can see why it becomes impossible. I hope, you know, the sad thing is, I told my wife about this story, well, she's known about it, but I told it to her again yesterday, and she said she'd push the button, because she doesn't think we have a right to destroy the Earth. And a very close friend, who I spoke with on the phone yesterday, said that she would push the button, and I'm like, oh my God.
I don't know if I push the button or not. I guess I probably would in the end. However,
it's to make you think. That's why I'm.
Yeah, it's an interesting little exercise in philosophy there, Claude.
I try.
I've got a couple of minutes left here. Got anything that you'd like to add to our listeners that we haven't talked about?
Despite the hopeless button scenario I just gave everyone.
And you're going to be saying, don't tell me, you're going to tell me you're optimistic.
I want people to keep hope. I want people to keep...
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Keep fighting for what they feel is left. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you know, in many of the... on our website and on our radio programs, we do a lot of exposés and things like that. And people think before they meet me, I'm a very negative person. But I'm not really at all. I'm very optimistic. But I just think these things need to be told.
Speaking of which, I'm hoping you're going to re-invite me on to discuss maybe my button article, but more important, I'm going to be writing either a work of fiction or an essay or an article about W. the Cannibal Morlock and why people... conservatives, Republicans should vote him out of office. Everyone needs to. And I'm hoping that maybe you and I can talk about that.
Well, I see the true conservatives, they're not very enamored with him either.
No, the American...
I'm the furthest thing from a true conservative, but
yes.
At the same time, I see that falling. He's a corporate guy. What else can I say? A control guy.
Yeah, and then the real conservatives I respect very much because they're against it. But the problem with them is they...
Yeah, well, I don't agree with their philosophy, but I do respect some of their philosophy. I just don't think it works. Government closest to home, less government, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Anyway, to close up my thoughts, everyone needs to be more active, And as has been said before, not by me, I don't know who said this, but life is not a spectator sport. If we remain spectators, we're lemmings over the cliff, and I
think that's one of our problems today. People keep saying, well, we've got to do things to change it, but I don't see many people stepping out to try to change things.
And that's one thing we can do. One thing I can do is to lead by example, and that's I'm working hard.
Well, we definitely are going to have you back, Claude, and we'll talk about Mr. Bush next time.
At the Morlock. Should I plug my websites now?
Yes, please. You got about 45 seconds.
Okay. ClaudesCommentary.com, which is kind of a mouthful. An easier way to get there is UFONetwork.com. That's UFONetwork.com, and it links to my other website.
Well, we wish you a lot of luck on getting the two sides together, and you've been very honest saying you're not sure how that's going to happen yet.
That's right. Maybe I'll have something to report next time I'm on with you.
We'll have you on again soon. Thanks.
Excellent.
Thanks very much, Claude.
River of Fear, the first book in a trilogy, contains just a few of the paranormal and UFO events that author Rod Davis and his wife have personally experienced. Rod surrounded them with mystery and action, which makes River of Fear a page-turner and an exciting read. River of Fear is a book you cannot put down. Click on the link on our UFO page at jerrypippin.com for more about River of Fear. And you can buy it today for only $14.95. That's a savings of $5. River of Fear, reality fiction, and it's this.
If you're looking for adventure, information, and entertainment on the internet, one stop fits all, jerrypippin.com. At jerrypippin.com, you'll find multimedia entertainment at its best. Almost 2 million people are enjoying hours of entertainment and information. Hit it now, www.jerrypippin.com.
It's a big, bold story set in the heartland of America, along the edge of Lonely Mountain.
I am open for business.
And so Big William Gorgon, played by handsome Michael James, fiercely set down his Midwest roots.
Oh, darling, we're going to tell bathrobes and raise chickens.
Set as adoring wife, Wilhelmina, portrayed by beautiful Glenda Olson.
Oh, I love our store, Will.
But they hadn't counted on Big Ralph's bathrobes and cattle store coming to town.
Oh, Will, Will, what will we do, Will?
Will had a plan, a way of facing off against tough Big Ralph.
We're going to change the face of America. We're going to advertise.
Adver what?
With print and broadcasting and bus benches. We're going to tell people who we are and where we are.
What's a bus?
And so the story of how one man brought advertising to the heartland.
Oh, will it work?
It will. Well, my name ain't Will, Wilhelmina. We've got to advertise or we'll die.
And so the greatest marketing story of all time is here. Advertise or Die, Dopey. Brought to you by Adweek Magazine, the Radio Advertising Bureau, this radio station on the famous Radio Ranch.
Thank you.